the voice of truth. Everything that we experienced in worship today is paying attention to the voice of truth. As we're worshiping, we're giving him our praise, and as we're giving him our praise, and we are participating in the outpouring of his presence upon us, he is then speaking to us sometimes. He is showing us things. What a revelation comes through intimate worship with him. So we can know that as we are giving our praise to him, whatever that looks like to you, if we're lifting our hands, if you're just being silent, if you're shouting, if you're dancing, if whatever that looks like, we're in his presence, and he loves to be praised. Yesterday, Bobby Cato and I had the chance to minister a little bit at the Men of Faith breakfast, and one of the things Bobby said as we began to lead worship was, worship is the main gig. Jesus loves to be praised. Yeah, we love sharing the word, and the word is absolutely vital to everything else we do, but he loves to be worshiped. We were created to give him praise. You were created to give him praise, to give him your worship. It's our purpose. One of our main purposes in life is to worship our Savior. And as we do so, sometimes we hear things and we hear instructions, and he makes downloads in us. And so that's why we don't give short shrift to worship. And maybe you're sitting here today and you say, I'm not a singer. Doesn't matter. Worship isn't just about singing. Worship is giving your life. Lord, make my life an altar, a place of your praise. So it's not about just having a voice that you can sing. So anyway, voice of truth, part two. Part two, our core verse. Our core verse is when Jesus said to his disciples that he was going to send the Holy Spirit because he was going to be leaving the earth. He was going to be sending the Holy Spirit to his people to be the one who will teach them and remind them and prompt them. And so the Holy Spirit is that active agent in our walk with Jesus today, that active agent that he was sending. And so John 16:13 is the core verse for this word for 2025. When he, the Spirit of truth, comes, he will guide you into all the truth, for he will not speak on his own authority, but whatever he hears, he will speak and will declare to you the things that are to come. So if you're in this room today and you're saying, boy, I don't know what the future holds, and it worries me. I don't know what tomorrow will bring. I don't know the details of their situations in my life that I don't know what they're going to look like. Well, the good news is that we have the advocate. We have the advocate who will show us, who will speak to us, and we will hear it. He will declare to us the things that are to come, and that is both on a corporate level, but it's also very, very personal. And he can be trusted. He can be trusted. So last week I spent a lot of time just explaining how this word came about. I'm not going to reiterate any of that today. Today we're going to get into some of the meat of this. And I'll tell you right from the start, the meat of this is getting to know Jesus. And the way we get to know Jesus is to get to know his word. Those are the two core points of this message I'm telling you right from the start. If you want to leave right now because you already got them, see you later. But those are the two core points, is that we're to get to know Jesus and to study his word to get to know Jesus. And the reality is that journey will never end until we take our last breath. So we're going to start with John 1. We're going to start with John 1, where it says this: in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was with God in the beginning. Through him all things were made. Without him nothing was made that has been made. In him was life, and that life was the light of all mankind. The light shines in the darkness, and the darkness has not overcome it. There was a man sent from God whose name was John. He came as a witness to testify concerning that light, so that, through him, all might believe. All might believe. All might believe. All might believe. He himself, John, was not the light. He came only as a witness to the light. He was in the world, and though the world was made through him, the world did not recognize him. He came to that which was his own, but his own did not receive him. Jesus, we're talking about now. Jesus. They did not receive him yet. To all who did receive him, to those who did receive him, if you're in this room and you did receive him, if you haven't, what are you waiting for? Today's the day. To those who did receive and to those who believed in his name, he gave the right to become children of God, children born not of natural descent, nor of human decision or a husband's will, but born of God. Supernatural act. The word became flesh and made his dwelling among us. We have seen his glory, the glory of the one and only Son who came from the Father, full of grace and full of truth. Amen. Full of grace and full of truth. So my challenge today, even from the beginning here, is get to know Jesus. And as you get to know Jesus, you will get to know truth. How do we get to know Jesus? Study the Word. Study the Word. Study what he did. Study what he did. The whole Old Testament points to Jesus. The whole New Testament tells us everything about what he did, or much about what he did. We probably don't know everything. So Jesus was having a discussion with his disciples, and he says this about himself. I am the way, I am the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. Familiar passage, we know it. We know it. But in a year when our word is the voice of truth, it's a reminder to us, hang out with Jesus. Spend time with him. Fran says it all the time. Spend time with Jesus and everything will be better. Everything will be better. It doesn't mean every problem is solved. It doesn't mean everything, just every trial you face just disappears. But everything will be better because Jesus has the answer, and as we hang out with him and spend time with him, he provides answers that we may not get right away. There might be a time of waiting on Jesus. Anybody ever have to wait on Jesus? Anybody waiting on him right now? I'm sure the room would be a flutter with hands. But he is the truth. He is the truth. So study the word. Study the word. What does the word say about him? What do we learn from studying the scriptures about truth? About what he taught? So I will say it over and over and over again. Keep your life grounded in the scriptures. They will never lead you astray. In John 10, he's talking to religious people here. Hopefully that's not us. And some of you may go, what do you mean we're not religious? We're not. Everything he taught shattered religion. Very truly, I tell you, Pharisees, anyone who does not enter the sheep gate by the pen, but climbs in by some other way, is a thief and a robber. The one who enters by the gate is the shepherd of the sheep. The gatekeeper opens the gate for him, and the sheep listen to his voice. He calls his own sheep by name. He calls his own sheep by name. Are you one of his sheep? Are you one of his followers? He knows you by name and he calls you by name. He knows you. Somebody may be sitting in here today and say, I don't think I'm seen by him. You are. You are. It's a lie. It's a lie. You are seen by him. You are heard by him. He calls his own sheep by name and he leads them out. He leads them out. He leads them out. As we embark on 2025 with a word that says the voice of truth, and we are his sheep, he is leading us out wherever we may go. He's leading us out wherever he may lead us. And we're functioning from that place of knowing. We're not guessing. We are knowing. There's an assurance we have because we are his. It's not a cockiness. It's not an arrogance. It's an assurance that we are his. And because we're his sheep, he knows us by name and we can hear his voice. He calls his own sheep by name and leads them out when he has brought them out of all his own, he goes on ahead of them. And his sheep follow him because they know his voice. But they will never follow a stranger. That's why getting to know him is so important. He's not a stranger to us. He is not a stranger to us because we've gotten to know him. In fact, they will run away from him because they do not recognize a stranger's voice. My sheep listen to my voice. I know them and they follow me. My sheep listen to my voice, the voice of truth speaking to us. And we're going to be hearing more and more and more of his voice as we listen for him. We listen for instructions and we just simply obey. I'm going to give you an example of even beyond this. So, this week on Tuesday, I had a kind of a full schedule of things I wanted to do, that I needed to do, that I need to go here, I need to go there, I need to go there, I need to do this, I need to go that, I need to see this person, I need to see that person. And so I kind of had in my mind a planned schedule of how this was going to go. And one of those visits was to go see Gil Kibbe, the one we talked about that went home to be with Jesus this week. So one of my goals was I'm going to go see Gil, and I kind of had him, I think, I don't know, third or fourth on my list. And for whatever reason, as I'm traveling up north, he was in Boardman or North Lima area, and whatever reason, and this is actually a case where I did not hear a voice, I did not hear any particular instruction on how to do this, but I had my schedule plan, and as I'm heading up that way, I came to where the place where he was living, and I wasn't going to stop there, but for whatever reason, I said, I think I'm going to go there first. So I went there first. It was not part of my plan to go there first. And I went in, and I walked in the room, and Lynn Halverstadt, his daughter, was there, and she said, I was just going to call you. And I looked at Gil, and I knew he is not long for this earth. He is not going to be here long. And the hospice nurse was there, and she was checking him over. But Lynn just kept saying, I cannot believe you're standing here. I was just going to call you. So we spent some time there, and the hospice nurse kind of gave us the update that Gil was actively dying, and that if she needed people to call, that she should do that. So we had prayer together, and then I, as I was leaving, Holy Spirit said to me, get used to this, that the more we're functioning in his truth, hearing his voice. Now, again, I didn't hear a specific voice, but I'm, you know, hopefully functioning the best I know how to do in his presence, in his, by his spirit, for whatever reason, pulled in there first. I was just going to call you. Get used to this. And this is my encouragement to all of us, that as we are paying attention, as we are endeavoring to know Jesus better and to dig into Jesus more and to study his word more and to stay bowed down and live in his, the more we do that, the more we're simply going to be functioning in the power of his spirit, sometimes without even a word of instruction. Because I was driving and I didn't hear, pull in here. I just pulled in there at a time that was a divine appointment. That is no praise to me. It's just simply an example of what I believe Holy Spirit is doing in his people. This is us. This isn't just my work. It is your work. That the more we are paying attention and bow down, entrenched in the word, entrenched in worship, entrenched in prayer, living according to his spirit, the more we're going to see. Because the Lord said, get used to this. Now, he didn't mean that just for me. We're going to be hearing more testimonies of just as I was going about my day, minding my own business sometimes. Sometimes minding my own business, and Holy Spirit has something already set up, and because you're walking in the Spirit, you happen to be there at that moment. My sheep listen to my voice, I know them, and they follow me. And again, this is core, getting to know Jesus. Getting to know Jesus. In John 14, Jesus says this to his disciples, anyone who loves me will obey my teaching. My Father will love them, and we will come to them and make our home with them. Anyone who does not love me will not obey my teaching. So there's a little bit of instruction there, a little bit of importance there. Do you love Jesus? Do you love him? What's that look like? Start there with that very basic instruction. These words you hear are not my own. They belong to the Father who sent me. All this I have spoken while still with you. But the Advocate, here we have the instruction about Holy Spirit coming, the Advocate. The Advocate, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, will teach you all things and will remind you of everything I have said to you. And what we see here in just these few verses is the very, very importance of the triune God. How important the triune God is. Jesus says, I only do what my Father tells me, and then I speak it to you. And I'm leaving, and then the Holy Spirit's going to be sent to you to remind you. So there's this sequence. God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit, each has a part. That's why it's so important for us to get to know who God is, who's Jesus, who's Holy Spirit. So important. Jesus is the core. He was the sacrifice. He was the sacrifice. He's the one who was fully God and fully human, who can sympathize with your weaknesses, but was without sin. So that's why it's so important for us to know Jesus. Yes, know God. Yes, know Holy Spirit. Become familiar with all three. But Jesus is core. It's core. It says there that the words you hear are not my own. They're not my own. He is in touch with the Father. He's in touch with the Father. Scriptures tell us that he intercedes to the Father on our behalf. He makes petitions on our behalf for us. It's important for us to know some of these things about who he is and how he functions. In John 8, we read this, to the Jews who had believed in him, Jesus said, if you hold to my teaching, you are really my disciples. So again, let's pause there. Pause there. What does he teach? How do I know what to hold to if I'm not studying what he taught? And if I'm not studying what he taught, I'm not going to hear his voice. I may hear other voices. I may hear all kinds of things. There's all kinds of voices out there. We want to hear the voice of truth. So holding to his teaching, the scripture is actually very clear there. If you hold to my teaching, you really are my disciples, which tells me that the converse is also true. If you don't hold to my teachings, are you really my disciple? And there's a seriousness about this. And the seriousness has many layers to it. Obviously, we're talking about salvation, we're talking about eternity, we're talking about very important things. But I will suggest to you right now that the reason this is important to me is that he wants to use us. He wants to use us in everyday life. And so walking in the truth, hearing the truth, speaking the truth, and then doing the truth will change someone. So then he says this, if you hold my teachings, you're really my disciples. Then he says this, then you will know the truth, and the truth will set you free. Will set you free. So continuing to study the word, studying to know the truth about Jesus, who he was, what he's doing, what he expects of his people, obeying his teaching leads to freedom. Before service today, Timothy J. Wright and I were sitting in the back before service, and we just were talking a little bit about things that are going on, just ways Holy Spirit is moving among us. And the thing about living in this place of, again, being seated with Jesus in heavenly places, a word we've heard repeatedly over the last probably four months, that we get to live in this place of being seated with him, this talks about freedom, there is a rest. We are not functioning from a place of anxiousness. Oh, I've got to hear his voice. I've got to hear his voice. Oh, what are you saying? No, it's not that place. It's not that at all. It's from a place of, oh, I love you, Jesus. I love you, Jesus. You are so good to me. I have peace because of you. I have joy because of you. I've learned about an amazing love because of you. We think about all the attributes about our Savior. And so we're not functioning from a place of anxiety or stress or I gotta get it right. Or if I mess up, he's going to slap me down. He may slap us sometimes, say, get in gear. I love you. Yeah. I remember a conversation I had years ago with young George Welker about sports. And if Jesus were a baseball player and he was stealing second base, would he knock down the guy on sec on when he knocked the guy down to get there safely? Yes, but he would help him back up. He'd help him back up. Then you will know the truth, and the truth will set you free. Whoever belongs to God hears what God says. Do you belong to God today? Figure that out today. Ask yourself. Answer that question for yourself. I know many of you in the room, and I know many of you know God, but you know, I can't answer it for you. In what ways do you know him? How would you describe your knowing him? But then this last line is really the one that kind of got me. The reason you do not hear is that you do not belong to God. And I thought, oh my goodness, does that pierce? Because you may be sitting here saying, I don't hear from him. Well, this is what the word says. I don't know how that applies in every situation, but if you're not hearing anything, my encouragement is get to know him, because he says, if you know me, you'll hear from me. If you know me, you'll hear from me. It's part of the equation. It's part of the equation, which is why I've said from the very beginning in this message, get to know. Because we will hear more clearly. And he says, if you don't, maybe it's because you don't belong to me. And that's not a condemning word for anybody in this room today. If that's the way you answer the question, then make it your ambition today. I want to know you. I want to know this place of rest that you're talking about. I want to know this love that you're speaking about. I want to know this peace, because I'm not experiencing any of that. And if that's you today, don't run out of here without talking to somebody, or, you know, and if, most important, talk to him. But you can talk to us too, because we can point you in the right direction. So when the worship team was up here, they sang a song. I almost leaned over to Isaac and said, remember this for me, because that's what I do sometimes. When I have this download, I was like, remember this. But the line in the song was, you're my friend. And I don't remember this. I can't remember anything else about the song except the very last line of it was something about you're my friend. But it was relevant, because in this verse, in John 15, Jesus says this, you are my friends if you do what I command. I no longer call you servants, because a servant does not know his master's business. Instead, I have called you friends, for everything I have learned from my Father, I have made known to you. We have a friendship with God. Now, I've said this before whenever I've referred to this passage or passages like it, that he is not our buddy. He's not our pal that we just pal around with in some sort of a place of equality. He is still the Savior of the world, and so there's a reverence, but we are his friends in that he shares important information with us. He shares personal information with us, things that he wants us to know. He confides in us. And so I got a message this week from Katie Ricketts, and I got several messages from people as I unveiled this word to us, and her message to me was that she was reading this book that was called Prophetic Solutions, and she was reading a chapter that was called Receiving Heaven's Blueprints. Receiving Heaven's Blueprints. Just think of that title in context of the voice of truth. It's important, because we get to receive heaven's blueprints. Because we're seated with Jesus where? In heavenly places. And we stay there. We don't come back. But here's what she read in this book, and here's what she shared with me. We need his blueprints and design in everything we do. Think about that. We need his blueprints and design in everything we do. Think about that in context of hearing God's voice. How are you hearing God's voice? We need his design and his blueprint. Because he has them. And here's what the writer also went on. The book was, I don't remember who the author was. I didn't realize I was praying most of my life from a place of begging God for answers without knowing that he simply desired friendship and partnership with me. And through that, he would birth in me the very answers I had been looking for. A servant begs for food on the table. A servant begs their master to fix all of their problems. A friend talks with a friend about their problems, and they discuss solutions and answers. Receiving heaven's blueprint, because we're his friend. He invites us to come into the most holy place because the veil was rent. We have access to come up close to him. He's not far away somewhere. We have access to talk to him about the very personal things that beset us or weigh us down or stop us short or give us trouble. I got another message this week from Bobby Cato, who's also reading a book. And the book that he's reading is called The Holy Spirit. And the chapter that he had turned to the day after I unveiled our word last Sunday, he was reading this book and he turned the chapter to, I don't know which chapter it was, but he turned the chapter and the title of this chapter, which he had not looked at before, was The Beauty of His Voice. The Beauty of His Voice. And here's what Bill Johnson said in this chapter, The Beauty of His Voice. Jesus is the Word of God made flesh, John 1:14, which I read. It's already in my notes. His very being carries his message. His very being carries his message, Jesus. That's why, again, get to know Jesus. His very being carries his message, and he has much to say. And then there was this part. If you remember, part of this word, the voice of truth, is the roar and the whisper. And I explained that last week, how that came about and how I kind of argued with God a little bit about my messy flyer because I had to put too many words on it. But he clearly said the roar and the whisper are part of this word. I explained that all last week. Go back to last week's message if you weren't here. So here's what Bill Johnson says. Sometimes he speaks through his voice, whether it is expressed in a still small way that we internally discern, through what may seem like unusual coincidences, in riddles or parables, audibly, or in other ways. Sometimes he speaks through his manifest presence. As the Word of God, there is no limit to the ways in which he can speak to us. We have to adjust to him to learn when and how he is speaking. And then he goes on to tell this story about his 5-year-old grandson. So his 5-year-old grandson goes to his parents, and I don't remember now in the context of the story whether the mother was pregnant at the time. Was she pregnant? She was pregnant. So she was pregnant. This 5-year-old boy goes to his mom and says, "You're going to have a baby girl and her name is going to be Bella." So then sometime later, the parents meet with the little boy and say, "Hey, good news, we're going to have a baby girl." And the son says, "I know, I told you that." And the parents say, "Yeah, but we want to know how you heard this. How did you hear this?" He said, "Well, God told me." "Yeah, but we want to know how you heard that it was the voice of God." And here's what he said. "Sometimes God speaks very loudly, and sometimes he speaks very softly. This time it was very soft. The roar, the whisper. A point I debated over and over and over again. The day I unveil the word, Bobby's reading a book that gives us the same picture. That's why getting to know him is so important, because sometimes the voice is going to be loud, sometimes it's going to be soft, sometimes it just might be normal everyday conversation, neither a whisper or a roar, nor a roar. So I spoke yesterday at the Men of Faith breakfast, and the guy that leads Men of Faith is Chris Brock, who some of you know. Chris and Coria have been here before. They lead a ministry called Life with Christ Ministries, and they have this event planned this summer that we are already signed up to be part of. It's is on June 21st, and it's going to be at SIBO Stadium in Salem. And he had flyers for it yesterday, and I had seen the flyers, and I think I'd even seen the name of it at some point, but I had kind of forgotten what the name of it was. But you know what the name of it is? Joining Voices for Jesus. Joining Voices for Jesus. And we're going to be part of this event. One of the things that I was very excited about that Chris told me about is, and we'll be hearing more about this because we're going to be one of the, he has like 45 churches involved already signed up to be part of Joining Voices for Jesus. We know that that is absolutely part of who we're called to be, is to connect with other bodies and connect with the people and be the corporate and a body of Christ together. It's not about Abundant Life. It's about the body of Christ. And so that's the whole vision for this event, is to for the body of Christ to come together. And so what he told me yesterday that I hadn't heard about was, he says, we want every church that has signed up, every ministry that has signed up to be part of this day, to plan an event in their community where we're just loving on people, where we're serving people. And then we're going to all come together later in the afternoon at SIBO Stadium to just be together. I don't know what all is planned for that. But that caught my attention, because he's calling these bodies of Christ to say, yeah, I want to be part of this, to do something, to be a voice, joining voices for Jesus right in the communities where they function. I don't know what our event's going to be. I just heard about it. But we'll plan some event where we're going to, you know, maybe we'll have multiple events. I don't know. Maybe we'll go down to the laundromat and pay for people's laundry as they come in to do laundry. Maybe we'll set up the grill somewhere. We've done this a couple of times where we set up the grill at Linda Krause's business at the trailer park there and serve people. Maybe we'll set up the grill somewhere else in the community. Maybe we'll go clean up a neighborhood. I don't know what we'll do, but I'm open to ideas. Holy Spirit, listen, because we can do more than one thing to shine light in this community. But I loved that it wasn't just a bunch of Christians coming together at SIBO Stadium. Nothing wrong with that. That's awesome. That part will be awesome. But it was, no. We're going to go serve. We're going to go show the people who Jesus is. And it's called Joining Voices. Joining Voices. You can't make this stuff up. You can't. Man is not smart enough to put this all together. Only God. Two more verses and then we're done. In 2 Timothy, we learn this. In the presence of God and of Christ Jesus, who will judge the living and the dead? And in view of his appearing, he's coming back, in view of his appearing, with that context in mind, in view of his appearing and his kingdom, I give you this charge. Preach the word. Be prepared in season and out of season. Correct, rebuke, encourage with great patience and careful instruction. For the time will come when people will not put up with sound doctrine. Instead, to suit their own desires, they will gather around them a great number of teachers who say what their itching ears want to hear. We're talking about hearing the voice of truth. Do you have a preconceived idea of what your itching ears want to hear? Because we hear a pretty strong rebuke about that here in this passage. They gather around them a great number of teachers to say what their itching ears want to hear. And I'm here to tell you that I won't do that. Pastor Mark will not do that. Pastor Shane will not do that. Pastor Ben will not do that. Bobby will not do that. Sunday school teachers will not do that. Any of our leaders will not do that. We're not going to tell any of you what you want to hear. Sometimes that will pinch. Sometimes you will say, ouch. Sometimes you will be offended. So we're not gathering around a bunch of teachers who satisfy itching ears. I want to hear how much I'm loved. Well, we'll tell you that. We'll tell you you're loved. But we're not going to stop there. We're not going to pacify. Well, there. You have a besetting sin. That's okay. It's not okay. It's not okay. We have an answer for that. It's Jesus. And we've all been there. And we all fall short. We'll tell you that. We won't condemn you. But we'll say there's a better way. There's an answer. His name's Jesus. He's the only answer. He'll always be the only answer. Here's what says happens to those who gather around them, the teachers who say what their itching ears want to hear. They will turn their ears away from the truth. They will turn their ears away from the truth. And they will turn aside to myths. So there's a result of not hearing the truth. There's a result of not being told the truth. There's a result. And it's serious. But then he says this, but you, and I say that you, Abundant Life Fellowship, and you, Jeff Shoke, keep your head in all situations. Endure hardship. Do the work of an evangelist. Discharge all the duties of your ministry. Just do what you're called to do, basically. Do what you're called to do. But if your ears are itching for something to just tickle them and make you feel good, I'll tell you right straight up, you're in the wrong place. You're in the wrong place. I like to feel good, and I feel good most of the time, but I'm not looking for someone to say things to me just to make me feel good. Last verse for today. From Ephesians, this is from Paul, talking about growing, maturing. We'll no longer be infants. This verse starts out with why there's pastors, teachers, evangelists, apostles, prophets. It's to equip the people. To equip the people. That's why we have all of those functioning in this body. So then we'll no longer be infants tossed back and forth by the waves, blown here and there by every wind of teaching, by the cunning and craftiness of people and their deceitful scheming. No, instead, speaking the truth in love, as we hear the voice of truth and we speak the truth, it's always going to be spoken in love. It's always going to come from that place. If we love one another, we love people, I love sinners. We can love sinners. Because we were loved first by Jesus. We don't forget where we came from. Remember, I say that all the time. Don't forget where you came from. If we forget where we came from, we'll get arrogant. And we'll get judgy. Speaking the truth in love, we will grow to become in every respect the mature body of him who is the head. That is Christ. From him the whole body, joined and held together by every supporting ligament, grows and builds itself up in love as each part does its work. Familiar passage. We read that passage a lot around here. But it is so, so relevant as we are listening for the voice of truth. Listening for the voice of truth. Not some false voice. Not some voice that says only what we want to hear. But the voice that starts with the Father, who speaks to the Son, who has spoken to his disciples, who has, through the Scriptures, given teaching after teaching after teaching. And as we read them and study them and study them, and then we have Holy Spirit who has been sent to us, the Advocate, and we hear the voice of Holy Spirit reminding us of something Jesus has said, something that he got from the Father, that he relayed to us. I only speak what the Father tells me. And Holy Spirit reminds us of that. And then we go about and do life. And we see someone. And the Holy Spirit downloads something on the spot. And he says, tell them this. You hear Pastor Mark say it all the time around here. I only said what I was told. I only said what I heard. I only said what I heard. It will always line up with the scriptures. It will always line up with the scriptures. So I go back to where I started. Get to know Jesus. Get to know his word. If you don't today have some sort of a consistent time of reading, and studying the word, I want to encourage you. Don't delay. This isn't a legal requirement. We're not talking about anything legalistic. We're talking about getting to know the Savior of the world. We're getting to know the one who wants you to hear his voice. And as we plant ourselves in that word and we make it the source of our strength, the source of our wisdom, the source of day by day by day, active and living word, we will hear with clarity. I remember years ago, Kim Blakely saying, and I don't remember now what all the context was, but the context for her was, I don't want to guess. I don't want to have to guess. I don't want to have to guess. Now, our walk with Jesus is a walk of faith, but that's not guessing. When we're walking by faith, there's an assurance of faith, and there's an assurance that we have heard correctly. I say every year when I'm introducing a new word, I always have a little bit of trepidation to presume that I'm speaking a word from God. But he confirms himself to us so often that we begin to walk in that faith in a way that it's a confidence. Yes, I know I've heard. Yes, I know I've heard. And you can know that. You can know that. You can be assured of that. Let's stand. If you didn't get one, the Voice of Truth notebooks are out there. If they're all gone, there'll be more put out. So just I don't put them all at once because they may all leave all at once. Thank you, Lord. Lord, I thank you for every person in this room today. Lord, I pray for the person that maybe standing here saying, I have never heard the voice of God. And Lord, I say that's awesome. That maybe they're here for the first time and they're going to begin to hear your voice because you're going to make your voice known. I pray for that person who is maybe saying that and saying, I need to dig into the word. I need to dig into this Bible that has laid dormant somewhere. Maybe I don't even know where. I need to find it. Or if I don't have one, we have them here. If you're in this room today and you need a Bible and you don't even have the money for one, let us know. We'll give you one. So Lord, I pray for everybody standing in this room today. That there'll be a clarity. There'll be a clarity on ones that have heard your voice. Maybe not, maybe some that haven't heard for a while, but this week they begin hearing. And they'll know when they hear that it's you. I pray for the divine appointments that are just going to happen through your people, that maybe they didn't even hear an instruction, just like I didn't hear an instruction to see Gil at the very moment when I was supposed to see him. That there'll be more of just living so intertwined with you, with your truth, with your word, with your Holy Spirit, that we will find ourselves in situations where we are just sharing in ways that transform. Where we show up somewhere and someone says, I was just going to call you. Or I was just thinking about you. Or I just found something with your name on it. Pray for more of these divine appointments day by day by day. We're just getting started in 2025. But we have a great expectation that as we lean into you, as we stay bowed down to you, and we stay pressed into you, that we won't be able to keep track of all of the instructions and all of the testimonies that come out of hearing the voice of truth. That salvation will come to houses, that healing will come to bodies, that a clear path will come to a path that previously was cluttered. So do this in your people, I pray. I pray your blessing on just the obedience of all who are in this room today. Walking in the room, for deciding to be in fellowship with your people, because you love that. You love when your people gather to worship you and to learn together, pray together. So I pray blessing. Praise for every good gift that you have given us, for every work you have done among us. And we give you praise that you still want to use us in the earth in 2025. We pray for the events of tomorrow. As President Trump takes his place, I pray for him to know you intimately. We know you have called him to this position. We pray that he will know you intimately. That he will function in this new administration from a place of hearing your voice. And we thank you for the people that he is surrounding himself with that know you. That even in some of the hearings that have been going on for the administration, where they have acknowledged Jesus Christ as their Lord and their Savior. So we pray as this government takes its position, the voice of truth will resound across the country. And as it resounds across the country, it it'll spill across the ocean into other lands. And people will know that the people of America stand for the voice of truth, who is Jesus. Praise Jesus. We give you praise. All in the name of Jesus. Amen. If you need prayer, there's people here to pray with you. You need to talk to somebody, there's people here to talk with you.